Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. I got something I want to share with you. If Brother Joe would continue to play that softly for me in the background for a second, if he would. I was sitting at work today. You know, I've been working on my message, and I sat at work today and got a good friend at work that doesn't really claim to be anything, but he does read his Bible a lot and does kind of talk to me about things on occasion. And he's been bringing me some missionary stuff. I wish Brother Mike was in here, because I'd like for him to hear this. But you know that it's amazing to me that we have a president of the United States that signed into law, a world law, with the help of the World Organization to protect evangelists that were out trying to do the work of God. And then we have a president that comes in that abolishes that law, and the massacres, they begin to come back up again. It absolutely amazes me how we don't take into consideration the importance of what evangelism really is. You know, I've sat in this room many, many times, and I've watched videos of Brother Mike and rejoiced at, you know, the happiness that I see when people are giving their lives to God and changing their lives. But what you don't see in the background is the people that are sacrificing their life so that that can happen. And I said all that to tell you that, you know, what my title of my message is tonight is, it's called The Mindset. What's in a mindset? I can't imagine what kind of mindset you would have to be willing to uproot your family, go into a foreign nation, when you know the only thing that's going to be there is total turmoil. You know there's going to be blessings. Sister Bree's nodding because she's been there. She knows what I'm talking about. You know, you go into these foreign nations and things. I've never been there. I've never done that. I don't have that mindset to do that. But there's a lot of people that do. And thank God for those people that aren't afraid to go do that kind of stuff. I want to read something to you right quick, if I may. It says, Christians living just 20 miles south of our ministry headquarters in Nigeria are being murdered almost on a daily basis. On May 29th, our planter mission to Bokus to distribute food and clothing to IDP and IDP orphans had been canceled because attacks of the Sunni Muslim Fulani herdsmen is what it's called. And these people are doing everything they can to keep the missionaries from doing what they do. And it's not only in Nigeria, like I said, it's in other places as well. But that lines up with what my message is about tonight, what's in a mindset. Sometimes we don't really think about what's in a mindset. If I can get my iPad to work with me here. Sister Gail's laughing because we just had this conversation right outside just a minute ago. You know, Sunday when Brother Joe was exhorting, he was exhorting about the battles of the mind. He read from Romans 8. Then Brother Paul gets right up behind him, and Brother Paul talks about the subtleness of the devil and how that he was always there. He was just real subtle in being there. And that's exactly the way his mindset is. See, his mindset is patience and endurance, because if you ever watch any type of wildlife documentaries, you'll see like a lioness. She'll lay in the weeds and she'll wait patiently. Or you see an alligator, it'll slowly sneak up on its prey that its prey never even knows it's there until it's too late. And then you go, what happened? Well, you didn't have the mindset of Christ, so the enemy got close to you and he began to work on you without you realizing that he was working on you. He's sneaking up on you subtly, and he's doing it through your workplace, through your friends, through your family, through whatever means it takes, even through the church. He sneaks up on you subtly that when he does bite and he does cause division in your life, you don't even realize what happened because it happened so quickly. When in all reality, it may have taken him months to get there. It may have taken him years to get there. It may have been a lifetime of waiting for you to be at the right moment, at the right weakest point in your life, and he decided now's the time to take advantage of the weakness. And again, in those animal documentaries, they always catch the slowest, the most unaware. You know, the Bible says, let this same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And without that same mindset, without that mindset, we become a prey to the enemy. I've been there. I can tell you, I got the battle scars to show it. I've backslid, not once, not twice, but three times I've backslid. And thank God I have a God that's still faithful to me, even in my stupidity, that's allowing me to make my way back home. That name Jesus that they just sang about, that's not a name to be taken lightly. It's not a day to play Christians. It's not a day to play like you're somebody that you're not. When we were younger, we played dress up, or we played house, or we played doctor, or we played these little silly games where in our mind we were something that we really wasn't. And unfortunately today, there's a lot of Christians that set to the church world that are making their minds up to be Christians, and there's some that are just making their minds up to suck up a little bit of space in the church. You cannot have a mindset like that and survive walking with God. Thank you, Brother Joe. You cannot have that mindset and listen to the devil and try to worship God and listen to the devil. You can't continually come back in here and go back and forth between the world and God and expect for God to have you to have that same mindset that's in Jesus. You can't. It's physically, emotionally, and it most certainly is spiritually impossible. You cannot survive playing games with God, because guess what? He don't play games. He's the winner of all things. He owns all things. He's in all things. He's through all things. And if you think for a second that you can play like that, your mind is wrong. The enemy's already got you. He already has you in the grasp, and you don't even realize it, because you think you can come in and out, and you can come in here and raise your hands and praise God and everything's all fine and dandy. Show the people you're a little sincere and then go right back out in the world and do what you want to do all over again. That's not the way this works, folks. That is not the mindset of Christ. That is not. And to be honest with you, people who try, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to throw a little stone at myself here, okay? People who try to do that, they offend the ones that are serious. You're an offense to them. You're a stumbling block in their road path to salvation, because they care about you and they worry about you, and you constantly are bringing turmoil and chaos in their life. There sits my mom. There was a time that I was full of turmoil and chaos, and you can ask her. Her heart was broken for me for many, many months when I was doing the things I shouldn't have been doing, because I didn't have the mindset of Christ. I didn't know what the mindset was all about. It was fun to come in here and preach the Word of God and go out here and do whatever I wanted to do and come back in here and get back in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, it didn't work out very long, because before I knew it, I was out of the pulpit and I was sitting down in the back row not doing anything for God. And that's worse, because the Bible says a man that put his hands to the plow and looketh back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. And I ask you tonight, are you fit for the kingdom of God? Are you fit to lay your hands on people and pray for them? Are you fit and living a life that when you pray, you know that your prayer is going to be answered? Are we fit to have that mindset of Christ? This isn't something that we play games with. You know, I was thinking about something the other day, and this is kind of off my beaten path on my message a little bit, but I remember back in the day, I just existed. I had no plans for life. I had nowhere to go and every place to be. My wife was just my wife. She wasn't the helpmate that God gave me. I didn't look at her that way. I didn't look at her as a precious gift that God chose to take a rib out of my body and create Kim Biddle for me. I didn't treat her like that. So my life was full of chaos. And you know, when I got more serious and I got more dedicated and I began to let the mind of Christ begin to be alive in my life, my wife goes to church with me now. My wife is a dedicated prayer warrior. She prays when people tells her that they need prayers. She does the things that's right. You know what it took? It took Brother Carl to get his act together. Not Sister Kim. It took Brother Carl. Brother Carl had to start treating her like the woman that God gave me and stop belittling her and trying to push her into doing things that she didn't want to do and trying to get her to be more than she was ready to be or trying to be that trophy wife hanging on my arm that served God with me. She wasn't ready to be that yet. So it created turmoil. And my mindset was when we got married, that's the way it was going to be. And that wasn't the way it was. So when you think about what the mindset of Christ really is, it's nothing to play with. There is a whole lot of people out there that can manipulate your mind with the twist of one word. All you got to do, that's one reason why I don't read anything but the King James Version Bible, because if you take one word out of context, it automatically changes the meaning of the scripture. And it's offensive to me when I'm sitting at home and I'm listening to the radio and they're quoting scriptures and I'm going, that's not what the Word of God says. First and foremost, thank God I got the Word of God bedded down inside of me and I know what the Word of God says. And I go, that's not what the Word of God says. Why do they want to spread that profanity like that? I want to read something to you right quick. It says a mindset is essentially a set of beliefs and attitudes that shape how someone perceives and responds to the world. It is a lens through which individuals interpret experiences, challenges, opportunities. To prominent mindsets are fixed mindset and growth mindset, which is significant influence on how people approach learning, success, and personal development and education and elaboration. When you got the mind of Christ, things take a different perspective in your life. I just told you a really bad example how I took my wife for advantage. Just took advantage of the situation. I didn't treat her like she needed to be treated. That's because I had a fixed mind on how things were supposed to be instead of a growing mind that was willing to learn from the experiences that I was experiencing. It says growth mindset, in contrast, those with a growth mindset, believe that abilities can be developed through dedication and hard work. They embrace challenges. Serving God is a challenge, guys. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that or not, but it's a challenge. When your friends are out doing the things that they like doing in the world and you got to go home because you don't believe in doing things like that and you don't want your reputation, that's a challenge to walk away from things like that. Or your friends are sitting around telling dirty jokes and you used to be that guy that listened to those things and you go, I don't want to listen to that no more. That's a change in a mindset. That is a growth that is taking place. Or when things are on TV that shouldn't be on TV and you go, I can't watch this, and you turn it off. Or on the radio and you listen to it and it ain't right and you know it's not right. I was doing something the other day. One of my favorite radio stations is 88.3. I hardly ever moves off my dial. And they got real staticky in my garage. So I rode over. And guess what the first station was that came up on the radio for me to listen to? One of the worst things in the world for me to listen to that I probably shouldn't have listened to was Q95. Rode over to Q95. Next thing I know, I catch myself out there singing those old songs that I used to listen to. And I went, no, that's not going to work. So I walked back over and I turned my radio off. If I can't have gospel music on my radio, there won't be no music on my radio. That's a mindset. That's a growth mindset. You got to make those changes in order to improve the way that you live so that you can help people around you improve the way they live. You know, we have children that are growing up in this church. And if adults run around playing with their mindsets, where's the children going to be? Pastors preached about it several times. We're one generation from extinction when it comes to living the Christian life. One generation away. So I'm going to ask you tonight, how important is the fight that you should be fighting to make sure that these children grow up and one day we'll be standing behind this pulpit preaching to a next generation, fighting the same fight over and over again? That's a growth mindset. That's not a fixed mindset. A fixed mindset would be we come in here, pastor stands up and goes, well, I got 150 people. I'm good with that. I got 120 people. I'm good with that. We don't have to worry about anything else. We can just preach to this congregation. That's a fixed mindset. That's a negative mindset because you should always be growing when it's concerning God. It's kind of like your bank account. If your bank account ain't growing, guess what? You're broke. Plain and simple. You're broke. You can't make a withdrawal of something if there's nothing there. So if you're not serving God and got the mindset of Christ and got the purity in your heart, guess what? When you try to draw something from God, there's nothing there. You're an empty shell trying to make do with what you think is a salvational walk, when in all reality, it's not. It's not at all. It says, the mindset's impact. Mindsets profoundly impact various aspects of life, including academics, performance, career successes, and personal relationships. A growth mindset is associated with greater resistance, adaptability, and a passion for learning. If it's hid, it's hid to those that aren't looking. That's what the Word of God says. It's hid because you're not willing to dig. And you're not willing to dig because you're not willing to change. And when you're not willing to change, you're guess what? You're going to get stagnant again. You're going to become the prey to the enemy once again. I went through it. I know what I'm talking about. There was something I'd done after my son passed away. My wife, when I left the house, she goes, "You're not going to go do that." I said, "Yeah, I am." And I came back home with it. It was the worst mistake I ever made in my life. I won't go into details, but it was horrible. And it's all because my mindset had gotten so wrapped up with the hurt and the pain of losing my son and wanting a memorial of my son, I took my eyes off of what really mattered, and that was making heaven my home to see my son again. It's crazy how mixed up we get sometimes. If we just sit and think about it, it's really not that hard. I was driving down the road a while ago, and there was a person in front of me, turn signal on, turning lanes right there, and they're just poking along. And I'm like, get in a turning lane. It's not rocket science. You know what? It's the same way it is with Christianity sometimes. Get involved. It's not rocket science. It's not a complex formula that you got to figure out. It's just get involved. Raise your hands. Clap your hands. Praise God. Get up and shout. Run around the church. Do whatever God tells you to do. Don't be embarrassed about it, because guess what? The next person that's laughing at you might be going through some turmoil that they need your prayers. So you do what you do when God tells you to do it, and I guarantee you, you'll be the best example of what somebody needs in their life. What somebody needs in their life. Changing mindset. It's possible to shift from a fixed to a growth mindset through conscious effort, learning about the benefits of growth mindset, and practicing new ways of thinking and responding to challenges. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, instead of yelling and screaming at the car, because they're not going to hear you, they're not going to pay attention to you anyways, only ones getting worked up is you, me. Okay, I'll say it, me. Say, you know what? Thank you, Jesus. I wish my Uncle Lonnie was here tonight, because I remember back years ago, there was a time that he was walking totally devoted to God, spoke in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost. We're sitting in a car, and he's working on it, and I'm a little bitty boy. I mean, I was probably 8, 9 years old, maybe 10 years old, and I remember watching him pull on a steering wheel, trying to get that steering wheel off, and all of a sudden it came loose, and it busted his head wide open all the way across the brim right here. He looks over at me. And I'm expecting, oh, my God, this is my Uncle Lonnie. He's going to go on a tirade. He's going to cuss. He's going to swear. He's going to start throwing things. He's going to be kicking the car. I'm going to have to run in the house because I'm going to be scared as a little boy. He looks at me and says, thank you, Jesus. That was my fault. You see how simple that was? He put himself in a situation, pulling a steering wheel. It busted loose. It hit him in the face, and there was nobody to blame but him. So I'm telling you tonight, there's nobody to blame but you. If you're not doing what God is telling you to do and you're not reacting the way God tells you to react and handling situations in your life, and don't tell me God don't tell you how to handle situations in your life, because I know good and well he does. He speaks to every one of us sitting in this room right now. And I don't care how deeply devoted you are or how shallowly devoted you are, God still talks to you and lets you know what's wrong and right in your life. He's giving you guidance. It's almost like having a light at the end of the tunnel and you keep bumping your head because you keep trying to go a different way. You want to go a different route. You don't want to go to that light. You want to go to this light over here. It's just follow the light. Just follow the light. When people come in here and they come to the altar, they praise God. If you're sitting back there like a bump on a log, guess what? You're robbing yourself of the blessing and nobody else. Again, not rocket science. It doesn't take a lot of effort to walk from the front of the church. You know, I was sitting home the other day. I'm like, man, it's a long walk out to the garage to work on my car. But the devotion I have to that car, Brother Jacob, I was going to the garage to work on that car. And it's kind of shameful that we don't have that same kind of dedication when altar calls are taking place or when we're supposed to be out praying for people and the highways and the byways and compelling people to come in or when we're supposed to be getting ready for the message that we're supposed to be preaching to the congregation on our given night. It's an honor to stand behind this podium up here. This is a sacred desk. It's not something to be taken lightly. Now I'm going to really throw you a curveball. It's an honor to sit in the seat where you're sitting at. Right now, it's an honor. It's not something given just generously. God chose you to come in here and occupy that seat, Brother Kyler. He chose you, Brother Jacob, to occupy that seat. He chooses each and every one of us and puts us in places that he wants us to be because there's a time that we can be used, but if we're not letting the mindset of Christ grow in us, we can't be used, and then we get offended when somebody else gets up and does it. Don't be hurt over it. You didn't move. You didn't make the effort, so God found somebody that would. I remember years ago, Brother Mike Ramsey, I miss this guy. I ain't going to lie to you. I think about him quite a bit. We were in the other building down there, and I was sitting over there, and the service was rocking, Bro Jacob. We were having a fireball service. People were shouting. They were dancing all over the place. There was a person at the altar praying, and I'm like, I need to go up there and pray for them. And I'm like, no, that's not me. That's not my job. I'm not going to do that. And I heard the voice of God say, I told you go pray. So I got up and I walked up there. After church, Brother Mikey Ramsey, when I was taking him home, he started crying. You guys remember Brother Mikey. You remember how he was crippled and he had a lot of problem walking and everything like that. He said, man, you don't know what that meant to me. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I was sitting back there because I couldn't get there. And he said, I wanted to go pray for that individual so bad. He said, I was praying, God, you know I can't get there, but please send somebody that can. Please send somebody and get there. And he said, and you walked up there. See, that's how simple it really is. I keep saying the word simple to you guys. It's a simple thing. It's called obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When I was younger, if I didn't obey my parents, guess what? I got in trouble. Now that I'm an older man, we won't go into how old, and a minister of God, if I don't follow the ordinances of the church, guess what? I still get in trouble. I still get called in the office. Now, here you go. I'm going to throw you a real big ball here. I'm the elder. You know what it's like to be straightened out by your younger brother? That's hard. But you know what? God chose him to be my pastor. Plain and simple. That's the brass tacks of it all. God chose him. We like to sit around sometimes and we say, well, we elected John Biddle to be our pastor. We didn't elect John Biddle to be anything. God elected John Biddle. We just allowed it to happen and was obedient to the path that God had laid out for us. I want to take your attention tonight to Luke, the 8th chapter, 22nd verse. It says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. No hesitation, no hate. You know, there might be a storm coming this way. No hesitation whatsoever. It was like, hey, let's go on the other side. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water. And were at jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. It's amazing to me how we start off with this great, big, huge walk of faith, and all of a sudden it gets really, 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 really weak. We've talked a lot lately about Brother Peter and how Brother Peter stepped out on the water, and all of a sudden he began to sink. It was because he took his mind off of God and put his mind on the storm. Stop putting your minds on the storm. Guess what? They're always going to be there. Newsflash. They're always going to be there. And when one dies out, another one will brew up, Brother Paul. They're going to keep coming. You just got to be like the 70s. You just keep taking the hits. Keep on going. Don't look back. You walk into the storm and you move. You know, I seen something that was totally amazing to me this week. the Florida or the Texas floods, there was a group of young girls in a church camp, girls only. I was watching that, and they were talking about how devastating it was, and how, and it was totally devastating. 26 feet in an hour is how far that river rose. They were averaging 9 inches of rain an hour. That's insane. These little girls and young ladies and their camp counselors, they got rescued. They were in a bus, and they were on the way back, and they were looking at their camp as they were driving by, and they were singing, "How sweet is the name of Jesus." I can't imagine being in their shoes and having a tidal wave of water rushing at me and being able to be saved because God watched over me. I don't even know what that would be like. I can tell you what it was like to have a tidal wave of emotions run over me when I lost my son. Or I can tell you what it was like when I watched my wife go out the door of my house and not know if she was coming back. I can tell you what those tidal waves of emotion were like. But I can also tell you that I know a God that can calm all seas. He can calm all waves. He can bring the lake back to a crystal clear, smooth little sail all over again. But it takes devotion. It takes obedience. It takes understanding. It takes mind growth. It takes being able to be chastised and corrected. And it takes being able to be blessed. And it takes being able to be uplifted. And it takes so many things to have the mindset of Christ. Great is the man that can take a compliment and not let it go to his head. When your ego begins to float, your ship begins to sink. So don't ever think yourself to be better than you really are, because I promise you, just like this, you can be replaced. If you're not willing, God will replace you. I remember getting my backside just really jumped all over one day because of a paint job that another man did. I had nothing to do with it, but because I was a part of that group, and I'm gonna bring this back full circle to you here in just a second, so bear with me. I remember being a part of that group, and I remember the owner of the company walking out, and he looked at it, and he called an emergency meeting with the paint booth, the shipping department, and the test stand. The first words out of his mouth, the very first words out of his mouth is, "You're replaceable. Don't think you're not." And if you think God don't live by that philosophy, yeah, he's going to give you every opportunity to change your ways, and he's going to long-suffer with you. And that's between you and God on the amount of long-suffering and the time that it takes to get you where you need to be. But let me give you another newsflash. You are replaceable. Another thing, if God's not in control of your life, he's not going to be in control of your death. So don't think, "Oh, well, God's got me. I've been baptized with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I've spoken tongues. I've run around church. I'm good. I can survive off of the grace of God." What about when the grace of God isn't there no more? What about the scriptures that says he turned them over to a reprobate mind to do with themselves as they see fit? It's crazy to think that we think that we're that special. We're not that special, none of us. Not from the pastor all the way to the back of the church. None of us is that special. We're here because God allows us to be here, and we're here because we're obedient enough to listen to what the Spirit of God says to do. It's an amazing thing to think that people... Nah, I'm not going to go down. I won't go down that road. It says, "And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs." You ever get tired of living in a tomb? If you don't have on the robe of righteousness, guess what? You're living in a tomb. That tomb can be many things in your life. It could be an addiction. It could be an adulterous affair. It could be backstabbing. It could be tail-bearing. It could be any number of things. And if you don't have the robe of righteousness on, guess what? You're living in a tomb. That's a scary thought, isn't it? That's a scary thought to think that you're living in a righteous seat. You're sitting in a righteous seat right now, and you can be living in a tomb. That's scary. It says, "When he saw Jesus, he cried." Let me find my place again. Where'd it go? Okay, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Torment me not. You got a devil living inside of you, but he don't want to be tormented by the salvation of God. Every one of us have shaken off the devil at some time point in our life. Lift up those holy hands, shake off those dirty bands, heavy bands, dirty bands. They're all bands. They're all shackles. They're all keeping you from praising God. Have you ever noticed somebody? I love this. You got a person sitting back there and they start doing this. They're like, and you just know the Spirit of God's dealing with them, but they can't lift their hands. Because in the back of their natural mind, they're going, "I can't do this." Their spirit's going, "Yes, you can. Sister Maddie, yes, you can." And they're going, "Nope, nope, I can't do this." And you'll see a hand go up like this, and it'll go back down. Guys, come on, y'all see it. Everybody sees it. We've all seen it at one time or another in a church. Don't joke with me. And you'll see a person, they'll go like this, and they'll throw their hands back down because they're not ready to make that step yet. Guess what, guys? God's Spirit's not going to long-suffer with you if you don't listen. If you don't obey when he says to move, those holy hands won't be lifted up very long before they'll be back down and you'll be back in the world doing everything that you used to do before. When Jesus saw this man, he didn't have to say a word. That's a beautiful thing. Would you love to be so full of glory and grace and salvation that when you walked into the room, you didn't have to say a word to the enemy. The enemy already knew, "I'm not going to mess with that individual. She's got it going on. Her and God's got their own thing happening. I'm going to have to really work hard to get that one. Or he's got it happening. I'm really going to have to think hard on how to outsmart him because he's got a little bit of that mindset of Christ going on in there." Think about it. It's not your mind anyways. If God owns everything, guess what? He owns your mind. We as a flesh think that we possess and we don't possess. All we do is occupy. Because guess what? This is going to die. What's inside this is going to live on for eternity. This is going to go away. This is going to go back to the dust of the earth that it was given from. And what's inside is going to make heaven its home, hopefully. I lean on the scripture so much what Paul says when he says, "I could live it myself up to my last days and still be a castaway." If that's the case, guys, where does that leave us that aren't willing to get serious and get dedicated and have that growth mind inside of us that we're willing to face the enemy, take on the enemy, challenge the enemy? I'm not telling you to challenge the enemy if you're not ready. Any good soldier's got to be prepped, Brother Don, do they or do they not? Any good soldier's got to be prepped for the war. This is the man's job that's up here. He's to prep us to get us ready for that war. He's to guide us into the wars that we get out there in the highways and the byways and we compel people to come in. You know, I got a really good friend. His name's Dave Oswalt. I love this man to death. He's been probably one of my best friends for a number of years. I'd say close to 28 years. And unfortunately, we kind of went our separate ways. Dave kind of fell out of church. We lost our jobs, went different ways in our occupation and stuff. We talk on occasion. And the other day I was thinking about him, and this is the way God works. I was thinking about him, so I texted him. I said, "Hey, man, how's things going? I hadn't talked to you in a while." I said, "Can you do this for me, blah, blah, blah?" And I gave him a little spiel about a thing, a contest that Kim's in. And he texts me back. He says, "Yes, sir, I most certainly will do that." He said, "Would you do me a favor?" I texted him back. I said, "Yes, sir, what is it?" He said, "Marcella and I were on our way back from Las Vegas. They went out there for a conference that had to do with Purdue University. And on the way back home, their joining flight took them to Florida. When she walked off the plane, she went away. She began to not be able to breathe. She started hyperventilating, convulsing. Her oxygen level plummeted. She's now in a hospital in Florida, and they don't even know if she's going to live. That's how quickly things can change for you. So if you think they can't change that fast for you, my father-in-law walked across the front room the other day and fell dead of a heart attack in 10 feet. You think things can't change for you that quick and that drastic, you're wrong. So I'm telling you tonight, you better let that growth mindset begin to take place in your life so that when your time comes, but Paul, when your time comes, you're going to be ready. When they blow that trumpet, you're going to march right on in. I love people that think they're going to get up there and they're going to bargain themselves into heaven. That's not the way this works. I hate to break your heart. I just read to you about a man that was living in tombs. He was cutting himself. He was tormenting himself. He would cast himself against the stones. He'd done all kinds of crazy things. And the second he saw a man of God, not the disciples or anybody like that, but the second he saw the master of the universe, the demons began to cry out. You cannot tell me, you will not convince me that each and every person sitting in this room at one time or another was not like that. The devil saw a man or a woman of God walking by you, and he panicked. Just like when I was out doing all the crazy things in the world, and Kim and I were driving up the road, and I'd taken her out to dinner. We were separated, and she looked at me, and she had to say just one little sentence to me that completely changed my life. She said, "Miss Mills told me to tell you she was praying for you." And I'm not going to lie to you, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I broke out in tears. I said, "Can I come home? Can I come home?" Because the devil done knew that God had the right prayer warrior on the scene. He done knew what it took to change Brother Carl's life and put me back on the straight and narrow path. He already knew. I didn't know, but I did know Miss Mills, and I did know her example, and I did know the way she lived her life. I did watch her daily. As a matter of fact, when my wife got saved, I told my wife, I said, "There's a woman in the church I want you to hang out with, and I want you to fashion your life after her, and that's Miss Mills." And you know, I went from listening to hard metal and rock and everything else in my house to gospel music we've been playing, and my wife would be on this phone speaking in tongues, praying with Miss Mills. That's a major, major blessing. God can turn your world around that quickly, but it takes obedience from you. God delivered the man of the devils, and he cast them out. I won't read it all to you. He cast them into the swine. They said, "Let us go in the swine." You notice they even picked where they wanted to go, Brother Mike. Just thought about that. The swine was there. They were minding their own business, just like some of you sitting around minding your own business, not doing anything crazy, living your life for God in a peaceful little moment. Somebody comes in here with a demon. The devil gets trembling from them, and he says, "Hey, can I go get in that one? Because they're a lot less occupied over there." You see how easy that is? Never thought about that before. The swine ran into the river and drowned themselves. They were innocent bystanders. You might be an innocent bystander. If you're not living what God tells you to live. Now, don't get me wrong. There's different levels in growth in God. And I'm not saying who's better than next or who's got more faith than the next or who's more dedicated than the next. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am telling you, your level is not good enough. If you think that you've hit the plateau where you know it all, you know, you can sit around and go, "Oh, I can just read the word. God's going to give me interpretation of it." That's not what the word says. It's hid to those that don't seek. So if you think you can just read it and interpret it on an instant moment like that, my grandfather used to sing a song, "Read it through and through, and every time you do, it's going to talk to you." Every single time that I went and sat down at 5 o'clock in the morning to break bread with my grandfather, I learned something from him. And that's why I am the way I am today. That's why I am today the man of God that I choose to be. Not because I was forced to be. I don't give in to peer pressure. If I did, I would have been hooked on drugs and alcohol and everything else when I was younger. I didn't give in to peer pressure then, and I don't give in to peer pressure now. Please don't think yourself to be better than the person sitting next to you, because guess what? A, you put your pants on the same way. B, you're subject to fall just like that person. When you see that brother or sister struggling, trying to get to where they need to be, your job is to be praying for them, not belittling them. not bringing them backwards. Your job is to uplift them. Our job as the children of God is to bring forth the message and the meaning. And you all are preachers. Brother John stood up here many, many times and said, Brother Jason's going to come in contact with people that I may never meet. So it's up to Brother Jason to share the glory of God that they might be sitting next to him someday in the church. I just wanted to share that with you a little bit tonight because I wanted you to understand the mindset is a terrible thing to waste. Catch that? The mind is a terrible thing to waste. It is, honestly. Because if it's not growing, it's becoming stagnant. And there's going to come a day, guys, guess what? Your natural mind's going to get really, really weak and feeble. There's coming a day when age starts catching you. You know, I remember talking to my father-in-law. I go to bed thinking about that man sometimes. I wake up thinking about that man sometimes. I pleaded with him to find his way to a church. My son pleaded with him. His best friend is a minister. He talked to Dad. You know, to think that I didn't do something that would cause that man to say, get his soul saved, it's kind of embarrassing to me, to be honest with you. I witnessed to him. I talked to him a lot. Shared my story with him many, many times. He even asked me one time, how do you serve a God that took your only child away from you? I said, because I serve a God of second chances. And along come Levi and Rainey. You know, don't let your mind become fixated on your problems. Your problems are always going to be there. I tell people this all the time. You're always going to have trouble. You're always going to be tempted. The devil doesn't tempt you. That means he's got you. If he's not coming at you, he's in you. If he's not wearing you down, he's already at home in your spirit. It's hard. It's hard sometimes to hold your head up when you feel like everything in the world's going crazy. And I'm talking about your world. It's hard to hold your head up when you don't feel like you fit in. It's hard to hold your head up when you look at people and you think they think that they're better than you are. It's hard to hold your head up when your boss is down on your back so bad and you don't really know what you did wrong, but you obviously did something wrong. It's hard, but it's not impossible. And the only way it's going to be possible is if you keep letting your mind grow. For gosh sakes, keep your word open. Keep your word around you. You might go to prayer and you may pray for 2 or 3 hours a day. But guess what? Unless you're actually breaking bread with God, you're not growing. You're not growing. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You might listen to all the podcasts that tell you how to change your life and how to do this and make yourself better in life and how to be a better child of God. But if you're not reading the Word of God for yourself, you're not growing. You're taking some man's word for what he feels is right. I was listening to a guy. I'm getting ready to come to a close as the musicians come. I was listening to a guy the other day. He said, you know, come at me. I don't care. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. He said, I can take anything you throw my way. I'm going to stand my ground and I'm going to fight. And I thought, if we had that same kind of mentality about the enemy, when the enemy tries sneaking into our head in the middle of the night, in a dream that we're having, or tries to sneak in through an argument with your spouse, argument with your brothers or sisters, argument with a brother or sister in the church. When the enemy is sneaking in, Brother Paul, he said it best the other day. I've thought about that all this week. He is subtle. He don't have to come at you with a pitchfork drawing his little pointed tail like we all think he is. That's not what he is. He is a spirit of deception. He is a controversial conversation. He is a TV program that you shouldn't be watching. He is a radio station that you shouldn't be listening to. He is a joke that somebody's telling that you shouldn't be partaking in. He is a conversation that's unfit for clean, Holy Ghost, water baptized, speaking in tongues, ears. He's subtle. He's perfect. He's manipulative. He absolutely can change your mind if you're not in mindset with Christ. Stop playing games. I don't know why I said that, but if somebody's in here playing games with God, stop playing games. God's not a God to play games with. He's not a God. He's a vengeful God. You ever wonder why you have all the problems you have? Maybe because you're being a game player with God. Maybe you're not doing what God's called you to do. Whatever that might be. It might be to pastor a church in the future. It might be to be a minister in the future. It might be to be a prayer warrior in the future. It might just be to be an example of holiness to somebody around you. But stop playing games. Guys, today we live in the most fierce world we've ever lived in. I just read you about Christians being slaughtered on a daily basis. If you think the enemy isn't ready to take you down, you are dead wrong. You are dead wrong, and if you ain't careful, you'll be dead before it's over with. What was that sheriff said down the floor? You'd be graveyard dead. That's the way the enemy wants you. Maybe not physically dead, but he wants you spiritually graveyard dead. Because he knows that if you're graveyard dead, he can move on to the next person and make them graveyard dead. Your spirit is worth the fight. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to say this and I'm going to step aside. You're worth the fight. You're worth the fight. Brother Paul, you're worth the fight. Pastor John, you're worth the fight. Sister Adriana, you're worth the fight. Brother Jason, you're worth the fight. Sister Gail, you're worth the fight. Sister Maddie, you're worth the fight. And I'm not talking about the fight for us. I'm talking about the fight for yourself. You got to fight for yourself. You got to make your mind up that you want to serve God unconditionally. And whatever changes in your life, if it is a good change, it's coming from God. It's coming from God. I wished I had time to go into all the things that God has changed in my life. It's amazing to think that this poor little dumb boy that once ran around Fountain Square being the hellion that he was, causing the problems that I did, can stand up here and preach the Word of God to people now. I thank God for each and every one of you. And you may not even know this, but the smile on your face blesses my soul. You may never speak to me. You may walk by me. You may never have a friendship with me. But I can promise you, your smile makes it worth it all to me. Thank you. God bless you.